Charity.
Well, charity begins at home, so they say. Charity is not just about doing something to the poor, although we are sorry to see the conditions of the poor. But the problem is that if we give, we don't know how what we give will be used. And maybe we give money, and what if a beggar gets drunk because of the money you gave? What good did you do? Or buys drugs? What benefit did we give? So this is one complication. We try to help in this world, and yet we are not sure that what the result will be. A doctor may save someone's life, but then that person is turning into a notorious killer. So that was bad karma. Should have let him die. So it is hard to understand what is good and what is bad in this world, because we cannot really oversee. From mundane morality, from our point of view, it looks good if we save someone's life. It looks bad if we let someone die. But in the case of the killer, it would have been better to let him die. So how do we know? It's very complicated. So there is a higher level of morality, from Krishna's point of view. And he can see more than we can. We are pieces on the chessboard, and how many squares can we see? Whereas Krishna can oversee the whole game. Therefore, it is difficult to do good in this world. It is all relative. It is relative. Still, the intention also counts. So if one is with good intention, is trying to help others, that's appreciated, even although it may not always turn out for the best. That is it. Sometimes devotees ask these kind of questions. Should we donate organs? The answer is only to devotees, because you don't know, again, where your organ will wind up and what someone will do with your heart, or with your liver or whatever. They may do all kinds of nonsense with it, and then you get the bad karma. You share in the bad karma. You gave your organ to a person who lives the life of a debauchee, and even although you're dead, you're still getting the bad karma even after you're dead, because someone is committing sinful activities with the organ that you gave. So it's not a good idea to write your will and donate your organs. Although, from a mundane point of view, it looks like a good thing to do. Why not? From a mundane point of view, you might say, I'm dead, I'm gone. So, may as well have some use of my body, rather than, just burn it or put it in the ground. Take the organs. Use them. But this has, as you see, it can have further implications. So therefore, the organs, yes, give them to devotees. That's all right. Then even after you're dead and gone, they will do devotional service with your organs, and you'll get spiritual benefit. So that's a good idea. But taking it a step further, real charity, there are different kinds of charity and they give different kinds of results. For mundane charity, trying to do good work, one can attain higher planetary systems even. but the fruit is always temporary. Therefore, real charity means to give someone eternal benefit. Because if you give someone eternal benefit, then the result is lasting for them and for you. Like if you give someone a Bhagavad Gita, they get eternal benefit. And so do we. And so that is the real welfare work, to give Krishna in some way or other. Either Krishna's words or Krishna prasadam or service to Krishna. That's the only real charity that gives eternal benefit. So what's the use of any other charity? This relief, that relief, flood relief, earthquake relief, 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 relief. Prabhupada said, blowing on the boil. Temporary relief is some pain, but it's not curing the problem. So, material life, we must dedicate our life to activities which help us to ourselves to rise above the material life and to do welfare work for others. Now this is all philosophy, and it's easy to look at it that way. But when we go into hospitals and we see how much people struggle to help others, right, then we can appreciate that they're getting credit for that. They're getting credit for looking after others, for helping others in suffering condition. They're getting credit, absolutely. But the kind of credit is, as I say, is piety. And that kind of piety, well, it's mundane piety. There's karma unmukhi sukriti. This is good karma. And one will attain a higher destination in the next life by such activities. So, that's appreciated. But then, ksine pune marchilokam visanti. Then again, after some time, that karma runs out and you fall down again. So Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita is condemning that. Krishna is saying such kind of pious activities are not really going to help us in our destiny, because ksine pune marchilokam visanti, when the good karma runs out, come back down. So this is not the real benefit. So we're trying to bring more knowledge of Krishna into the world. We're trying to bring more service into the world. And that is ultimately a festival like this. One can look at this festival in different ways. Like when you drive in into the entrance towards the car park, it says free cultural entertainment. It's more than free cultural entertainment. It's also transcendental benefit. So that's more important. So that is what we're aiming at, to give that kind of, engage in that kind of charity, to give people a connection with Krishna. That's the greatest welfare work, somehow or other. Right? And devotees notice that, right? When you are actually distributing a book and someone takes, it's blissful, it's very nice, you know? If you manage to convince someone to take Bhagavad Gita, even if it's your auntie, it's kind of satisfying. No, it is. It is. But to speak of a stranger, or to speak of someone who has never had anything to do with Krishna, someone who is in the middle of someone's karma. The word karma has different meanings. Karma means action and reaction, that's our previous karma. But karma means also activity, That's our present karma. That's the karma that we do now. So people are caught up in karma. They're always working with their material energy. And so caught up. And so if we can pierce that and suddenly give someone spiritual knowledge, well, that's the greatest charity. I said a book because Srila Prabhupada particularly stressed that. It was his spiritual master who said that book distribution is particularly the way to reach out to people. Because through these books, they actually get some lasting spiritual benefits, some spiritual knowledge. It's like, if someone takes some prasadam, that is nice, but not enough. There must be kirtan or a book along with it, so that there is transcendental knowledge. And once we get in contact with transcendental knowledge, then we can begin spiritual life. Otherwise, nice. You know, take some prasadam. Nice. You got some prasadam. Give a donation. Nice. You gave a donation. There is some spiritual benefit. But when you get transcendental knowledge, then it pierces the ignorance in our consciousness and touches the heart. And then it changes someone's life. Even knowingly or unknowingly, it goes in. That transcendental knowledge, it goes into the heart. So somehow or other, if we can bring people in contact with transcendental knowledge, that is very nice. Another means is Back to Godhead magazine. Srila Prabhupada began with Back to Godhead magazine. That was his first preaching in 1944, even during the war, Srila Prabhupada published Back to Godhead magazine. It was difficult because there was no paper, because the paper was on ration, and it was all controlled by the army. So then Prabhupada went to see a high army officer and asked him for paper. And the man said, "No, Swamiji, I cannot give any paper, because paper is exclusively reserved for the war." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, that's why you must give me the paper. Because my paper will bring peace." So then the army officer was impressed. Right? So he gave him the paper. So that was a big victory. And Prabhupada published the Back to Godhead magazine in 1944. And he wrote an article in there, said, "The frenzy of hate and the frenzy of love." And Prabhupada meant to say that when we hate, right, that the counter side of hate is love. Meaning to say, when, of course, referring to Germany that at that time was at war, and the frenzy of the hate of war was at the same time combined with frenzy for das Vaterland, yeah, for the fatherland, Germany. Yeah? So they loved such an extreme love for their own land, and then the counter side of that was hate. So these dualities are there. From South Africa, South Africa, South Africa, South Africa. And then what about Botswana? South Africa, Botswana. See? Like that. We declare ourselves great at the expense of others. Because that's the mundane world. So that's the mundane world. But if we put the glories to Krishna, then everyone shares in that, because everyone has a connection with Krishna. Therefore, that was what Prabhupada pointed out in his Back to Godhead magazine. In 1966, he gave that same Back to Godhead to to his early disciples who didn't do such a great job, but anyway, Prabhupada tolerated it because he wanted them to mature so that they could take over. And eventually they did mature, and now Bhaktivedanta is a mature magazine. And subscriptions to that are good things. You can give them to friends and family, but give subscription. We have some local representatives. You can raise your hand. Yeah, a little higher so you can see here. After you can see them and you can get a subscription on Bhaktivedanta. That's a very good thing. Because in that way Krishna comes into someone's house through a magazine. And you just give someone a 1 year gift subscription. Not so expensive. And after that they can extend it themselves. Or you can extend it for them as you like. These are things, this is charity. This is transcendental charity. This is the kind of charity which really benefits the world. If I said charity begins at home, obviously when we speak about charity, I speak about you and me. Then Srila Prabhupada spoke about book distribution and Bhaktivedanta magazine as a means to push on this movement around the world and see what an amazing movement it is, how much it has changed the world. And then Prabhupada said, and then from that, from the profit of these books that we sell, some money should go to India for the development of Mayapur, where he wanted the biggest temple to be built in the world. And now that's going on also. So there we can give charity so that that temple can be completed and that the whole world can go there. So charity begins at home, begins with us being generous, not only with our money, but with ourselves. Vaishnava charity means to give yourself. It's like we don't ask for your money sometimes, but we ask for you. Give your life. Like Gandhi had a movement, and there was a big, big lawyer. And Gandhi approached this lawyer. And the lawyer was working for the British and making a fortune. A fortune. Right? And Gandhi said, join my movement. He said to Gandhi, he said, please don't ask me to join your movement, ask me for money. I will give you money. Gandhi said, we don't want your money, we want you. And then he forced him to join his movement. And he became a big leader in the Gandhi movement. And without him, it would have never been pushed forward. So we want you. We don't want you to just come and put a bottle of milk on the altar with some fruits. We don't just want some donation in the box. No, we want your life. Because that's real charity, to give yourself. That's the greatest charity. Huh? To give ourselves to Krishna. That's real charity. That's what we want. That's our aim. Fully. That's not easy. I thought I will do that. You know? And at that time, when I was 12 actually, the Beatles came to the Netherlands, and that was a big change. All young people stopped going to the barber on that day. The barbers went bankrupt overnight. That was it. And I was also one of them. So I had long hair, you know, at least up to there, and completely white, extremely white. Much whiter than Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj. You know? And I was very proud of it, that I had such white hair, because no one had, you know. So when there was a crowd, I would stand out, you know. Everyone said, oh. And I was very proud. And then I joined the Hare Krishna movement, and I shaved it all off. Oh, And then it grew back this mouse color that I have now. You know, I lost the white. Just see, Krishna took it away. What to do? And I thought that with that sacrifice, I had done it, that I had given myself in charity. But it wasn't so easy, because I found that internally I was holding back. I put the neck beads, I put the tilak, I said the prayers, but inside my heart I kept my own space. Oh yes, externally I chanted, I showed my devotion, but I had inside my heart a secret chamber, and that secret chamber I kept, and there I kept hidden my secret material desires, and I didn't show them to anyone. I was hiding them, and no one could see that they were there, but they were. And it could be seen in my lack of love. It could be seen in my lack of really being happy. It could be seen in my lack of being kind to anyone and everyone. It showed that I still didn't melt. It is said sneha is an advanced stage of love. And in that stage of sneha, the heart begins to melt. So what does this mean, the heart melting? It means that one becomes extremely compassionate and kind towards everyone. But when that little private secret chamber in my heart was still there, holding on to my own selfish desires, the result was that hard-heartedness did not leave me. Oh, it's not so easy. Not so easy. Real charity is not so simple. Real charity is a big challenge. Big challenge. So with this, I'm taking up a lot of time, and I don't know about your questions. They haven't reached me yet. So, but sometimes people say, when you give a lecture, you answered all my questions. So I hope that so far I've answered some questions about real charity. And if you have some, I will take them now. And we'll see what happens. Yes, so the heart. The heart is really our Madhava likes to say, when in chanting Hare Krishna with your heart, and to chant with the heart really means that that in the innermost chambers of the heart, there must be Krishna. In the innermost chambers, no hidden agenda. Hare Krishna, please can you explain, is charity only for one's benefit in the sense of doing good, as, or can we link it to spiritual life as well? Yeah, so two types of charity. Doing good by helping people materially, and the other one giving spiritual life. Sometimes there's a combination. And someone is starving, you go, Jai Hare Krishna. It's just like half dead, you know. Or when you're heavily injured, right? You're seriously, seriously injured. And people say, Jai Hare Krishna. I have been injured in my life, right? On a few occasions, and once quite serious. And at that time, although I had practiced for many years, I could not chant Hare Krishna. All I could do was say Krishna. because I was so dizzy that I couldn't manage Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. See how long it is? That's too long. Way too long for that condition. At best I could do Krishna. That was the best. Even mentally, it was too complicated, the whole Maha Mantra. Just Krishna. So, sometimes the material conditions are so difficult that we have to help someone also materially. But side by side, we help someone materially but also spiritually. So doctors and so on can think about that, how they sneak in something spiritual. A little Maha water, a little Maha mantra, a little Bhagavad Gita, something. For anyone who helps in this world, we should try and give people some Krishna. Yes. Then our mundane help is very valuable. It's needed also. It's not that devotees are only giving the holy name and we are not concerned with any material condition. You know, your leg can fall off and there's a chair. It's falling off. Screw it on, something, you know. Chair of a Krishna, it's too much, you know. You want both. Right? So sometimes we need to do both. And Srila Prabhupada did. Sometimes when we want to go out on book distribution, the mind gives us so many excuses to not go. Go out. How do you overcome the mind's negativity? Yes, that's difficult. The mind is very strong and it's sort of difficult to approach people to give out books. And maybe we should begin doing something a little easier, you know. Maybe sometimes to go to people's houses is kind of easier. You know? I used to do in Chatsworth, go from home to home. You know? But it was alright. Not too bad. It's more difficult to stop people on the street. So there's always a way to distribute books. There is a nice website called distributebooks.com and you can look at that. But it really is something. Nowadays everything is on the internet. But what is there, that website is made by Vaisheshika Prabhu. And he is amazing when it comes to book distribution. He has figured it out, how it works. Not only does he know how to do it, but he's also understood what it takes to get people to take a book. Yeah? And basically he says, you have to ask a question. He said a question is a hook. And as long as you ask a question, right, you've got someone's attention. Keep on asking them questions. And that way you try and pull them in. So, and then he says you have to flatter people. You cannot flatter them enough. Flatter as much as possible. And the more you flatter them, the more they like you. And then they'll take your book. Anyway, it's some tricks. Look on the internet, distributebooks.com. Is it okay to make some money for yourself by doing book distribution? As long as you pay the BDT, then it's fine. As long as you pay the cost rise of the book, yes, then it's nice. Then it's very nice. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said in one of his books that the greatest charity one can perform by giving up envy and violence to all living entities. Yes, that is true. And giving up envy in the in the explanations, it is said that ahimsa or non-violence is not only inactive, that you stop beating others, but it is also active. So if you see somebody drown and you do nothing, then you're also violent. So non-violence means you see somebody drown, you have to take them out of the water somehow or other. So that means our non-violence is active non-violence, not just passive non-violence. So that's what it means. That's why this charity element of giving yourself to others comes back again in the same team. Should devotees donate blood to devotees? Is it advisable for devotees to receive blood or organs? Yes, definitely, lots of. When you need them. But not for eating. I got people going on the organs, I knew about it. Hare Krishna Maharaj, you mentioned about organ donation, da 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 da. So I was wondering, what is your view on adoption of children? Adopt 100 and make them all devotees. Why not? Yes, adopt them. That's not so easy. Because as soon as you adopt them, you are responsible to make them devotees. Guru na sashat, pita na sashat, janani na sashat. Don't become a spiritual master, don't become a mother, don't become a father if you cannot deliver your dependents. So you must give them Krishna consciousness if you accept them. Of course, not so easy, but you must try. You must try to give them. What is this? I was wondering, what is this? Egg transplant? Egg transplant? What is egg transplant? In surrogacy for the devotees. I don't know. Huh? Somebody knows? Is that
like test tube babies?
What?
Test tube
babies. Oh, test tube babies. Test tube babies, huh?
A surrogacy where you will help
carry
somebody else's child.
I see. It gets very complicated, but I think the test tube is okay. Surrogacy goes a bit far because there is a reference where it says that five activities in the Vedic times, if someone couldn't have a child, then the brother could get a child on behalf of his brother, his brother's wife. So surrogacy, and that's forbidden in the age of Kali. It's a specific reference, but that's forbidden. So the surrogacy approaches that, so I think, I can't hear. Is there a mic? You said it, a hand mic? Give her a hand mic? No, I just think it's, I don't know what it is. I'm a simple man who doesn't do such things. Yeah, so tell me about that. I got that. As I said, I still think Devarenga Sutut Patim. It sort of resembles caring for someone else. You get crazy situations, you know, because the one who's caring for the other starts to feel it's my child. And then you get like two mothers fighting over the child and this, that. I wouldn't recommend it. That's asking for trouble. So, I wouldn't do that. Surrogacy. Wouldn't recommend. Thanks for the clarification. She's a doctor and she knows these things. That's all. Maharaj Srila Prabhupada said that money in the bank should be used to print books of a building of a temple? Please comment. Well, it's not exactly that simple, because Srila Prabhupada said that 50% of the profit from the books should go for building temples. And specifically, Srila Mahaprabhu, the Holy Dhamma. So, it's a combination rather. The book distribution is Prabhupada's formula to preach, and the profit is then going towards construction of Mayapur. Yeah? I kind of do it in the same way with my CDs. I sell my CDs to you so that you get my kirtan in your home, and I make you pay, give me one. And I make you pay, and I give that money to pay for the Soweto Ratiyatra. And that way we do two things at the same time. So you should, if when you leave the tent and you haven't got one yet, you should definitely pick it up before it's too late. Put in a little plug at the same time. We got a few more minutes. Let me see if there are any other questions here. No. What karmic reaction does donating money to the temple have on the donor? When you give money to the temple, it's not karma. That is like spiritual activity. It is rather akarma. The Bhagavad Gita describes karma, akarma, and vikarma. Vikarma means degrading activity that brings you down to. Karma is where you get entangled with matter. And akarma is activity that ends your entanglement in the material world. So when you give to a spiritual purpose, it's akarma, you become free from karma. So when you give to the temple, then you burn up a whole lot of karma. That's why you should always give to the deity. The temple means the deity is the proprietor. So you're giving to Krishna, and he is the owner of the temple, and the devotees in the temple are the servants of Krishna. So you're giving to Krishna. Huh? So giving to Krishna is perfect, because that is liberating us from material suffering. Don't forget that entanglement in karma is what brings us suffering. Huh? Everyone's running to the doctor. Everyone's swallowing so many pills. Why? Because of karma. Huh? Because of karma. So we should relieve ourselves from some karma. Of course, that's not the main reason why we give to the temple. That would be a lower motivation. Let me free myself from karma. But all right, give to Krishna at all times. Give whenever possible, as much as possible. You will never be the loser. Whatever you give it to Krishna, you will not, even if you give all your wealth to Krishna, you will not be a poor man. You will not be a poor man. Right? Everything, you'll get real wealth. And one who gives all his wealth to Krishna will find that he gets real wealth. Real wealth. So that is what we want. Real wealth, daivi sampad, spiritual wealth. Wealth, credit with Krishna. Why credit in the bank? Credit with Krishna. That is what counts. Credit in the bank will help you a little bit for a while. So, okay, he wants a little credit in the bank, but it's not so important. Life goes on somehow or another. But credit with Krishna is what we need. That's what we really need. Without credit with Krishna, we've wasted this human form of life, actually. That is what scripture says. Sama Eli Kevalam. Only wasting this human form of life. In the human form of life, we must do something for the Lord. So that's very important. And that's a good thing about India, is that it's part of the culture. That sort of, they always say to the children, give them something here. Give. Go give to the, put in the pranami, put in the box, so go give to the Swami, some toddler, to teach them from early age. That's Indian tradition. And that's a very good thing, actually. And you should keep that tradition. Now India is in a dangerous state. Because for the first time, they begin to lose their Indian identity. And the youth is becoming modernist, and just like the rest of the world. And this old tradition, which was kept for so long, is now breaking down. In South Africa, maybe already happened a bit. So let's hold on to these good things. Always, always be ready to give something in generosity. That will be very nice. Now, you have the good fortune to hear from His Holiness Vedavyas Priya Maharaj. Vedavyas Priya Maharaj has come here with difficulty. He's 70 years of age. It's not so easy to travel. But he came just because he wanted to share his realization of a lifetime in Krishna consciousness with yourselves. So please stay. It is a rare opportunity, actually, that Maharaj is here. He doesn't come every year, but somehow or other, Maharaj came this year because he wanted to. I know Maharaj very well because we are both from Vrindavan, right? From our Krishna Balaram Mandir. That is also Maharaj's base. Although we are often on the road, but still we consider ourselves at home in Vrindavan. We meet from time to time in Srila Prabhupada Samadhi, right, for Mangal Aarti. That's our favorite meeting place. And I'm happy about that, you know, because that's where you really get the mercy at the feet of Srila Prabhupada. Vedavyas Priya Maharaj is a direct disciple of Srila Prabhupada, and therefore, I think you're fortunate to have Maharaj's association, and we hope he'll go a little longer this evening so that we'll get extra mercy. Thank you very much. And those who keep the tent, don't forget, get one of the CDs. Thank you so much.